Your friends in Christ.
People of Advent. Yes, I know it's Advent, but I'm always, you know, holding back from those Christmas hymns so we can sing the Advent hymns. But today, with this text before us from Mike, I just couldn't resist to throw in the little town of Bethlehem. And, well, Christmas is almost here anyway, isn't it? Bethlehem. And at this time of the year, the whole world turns its attention to Bethlehem, an ancient city, as our text, as its original name, is Ephrath, just 5.5 miles from Jerusalem. And when God called Jacob to Bethel to worship, hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, he stopped at this little place, this little crossroads called Ephrath, Bethlehem. It's a little town with rich history. Well, when Jacob stopped there, Rachel, his wife, his favorite wife, by the way, she went into labor with her first child. And joy turned to sadness when the labor became a hard labor and she died in childbirth. Rachel, the wife of Jacob, her tomb is there to this day in Bethlehem, a special place for the Jews. In fact, no Muslim can enter the tomb there. It is for Jewish people only, I understand. And this is why Jeremiah once wrote in the 31st chapter of his book, "A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more." It was many, many years later after Jacob, through the village of Ramah, a short distance north of Bethlehem, that the Jews were led away into captivity by the Babylonians. They went through this area. But we Christians remember, as St. Matthew tells us, that Rachel weeps not only for the children who were taken away in captivity, but also for the children of Bethlehem, who were killed there by Herod at the birth of Christ, the Nativity. Bethlehem is also the place where Ruth and Naomi, her mother-in-law, settled during a great famine in Palestine. Ruth ended up marrying Boaz, and together they became ancestors of the Christ. And who can forget that it was this little town of Bethlehem where a great king was born, the son of Jesse, David. And one day Samuel the prophet came and anointed him to be the great king of Israel. Bethlehem has always been a little town, but some great things have taken place there. For as Micah foretold, "From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel." Certainly this happened once with the birth of David and when he was anointed. But Micah predicts that it would happen again, like lightning striking the same place twice. Micah said, "This ruler's origins would be from of old, from ancient of days," or as other translations say, "from eternity." This ruler who was to come from Bethlehem, he has his ancient origins, all right, from Jacob and Rachel, from Ruth and Boaz, from David and Solomon, the great kings of Israel. But he also had his origins in eternity, for the one born in Bethlehem was the Son of God. Surely, even with its rich history, Bethlehem is best known because it is the birthplace of Jesus. Now, there were many years before Jesus' birth that we didn't hear much from Bethlehem. Micah spoke of this when he said, "Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth." And that calls to mind the image there of Rachel in the pains of childbirth, especially one that's going bad, with no C-section and no epidural or pain relievers of any kind, just pain and agony. And that certainly typifies the nation of Israel before and after Jesus' birth, even as we see it today, torn apart by warfare and bloodshed. But as the prophecy goes, when the birth happens, the rest of Israel's brothers will return to join the Israelites, says Micah. Now, what does this mean? Well, some people think that it means the brother of Israel, that's another word for Jacob, who was Ishmael by way of Sarah's maid, Hagar. This Ishmael signifies the father of the Arab peoples. And so these people see this interpretation as an end to this hostility going on in the Middle East that's gone on forever. They see an end to this conflict. But I think this is rather short-sighted when we consider what the birth of Jesus really brought about. Jesus came not only to save the Jewish people, but to save all nations. And while many Jewish people believed in him, those who rejected him were replaced. Replaced by who? Well, by the Gentiles. That's us, folks. And so, whenever someone comes to faith in Jesus, believing that when Jesus was born into the world, it was to be a Savior, and that at 33 years old, when he was stretched out on the cross, he made payment for sins, full payment for the sins of the world. The person who believes this, whether they are Jew or Gentile like us, they have been brought back to the true Israel. And they are sons of Abraham, as Paul says in Galatians, sons of Abraham by faith, faith in the Messiah who was promised to come. So that is why we can say the Christian church is the true Israel of God. Now you can go to Bethlehem today. There's a church there that stands on what is believed to be the site of the original manger, where a weary Mary and Joseph made their three-day journey by foot. And it was there that Mary gave birth to Jesus, who was to save his people from their sins. The first church was built there by the Christian emperor of the Roman world, Caesar Constantine, and his mother, by the way, Helena, in the year 358. They built a church there because it was the holiest site in Christianity where Christ first came to earth. Now, later on in the 6th century AD, Emperor Justinian built another church when he lived there in Bethlehem. So he built it over the site of this first church. And then, as you know, throughout the conflict of the centuries, many things happened there. Crusaders conquered Bethlehem in 1100 AD, and years of war between the Crusaders and the Muslims destroyed the city again and again. It was rebuilt and destroyed again. But the church has somehow survived all of this. It was never destroyed. Now, I've seen pictures of it. It doesn't look like much on the outside. But millions come to see the inside, to see the place where Jesus was born. One of the most important Christian holy places in the world, there at Bethlehem. Would you like to go there? I know I would. But it's not the safest place. Millions of people still go there. But I remember about 4 years ago, they had a problem there where some Islamic radicals took a group of hostages in the church for about 30 days, and they just holed up there. Eventually, they were let go, thank the Lord. But it doesn't seem to be the safest place to visit. But each year, we make the trip in our hearts and with our souls, don't we, to Bethlehem. Look back to Bethlehem. Look back, because Bethlehem's birth is not just about a baby. Babies are born all the time. We've got hospitals full of babies. For Christians, it is about redemption. That's what Christmas is about. Redemption. The waiting is over. The Savior is here. And his purpose is not just to be cute and lay in a manger and have people come visit him and sing songs about him. His purpose is to redeem, to buy back, to make full payment. He himself was given over for us completely. All that he had was given for us. For this reason, we worship him with our lives. And here's the big secret, folks. You know all the songs that we sing? the Christmas trees, shopping, the presents, the caroling, the good food, all the decorations, and everything about this season, all the extra little things. We know the secret of it all. The rest of the world seems to have forgotten. All of these mean something, and it's a very simple thing. The Savior of the world is born. God has come into the world to redeem the world, not to condemn it, but to give it life. And he did that at Bethlehem. And the other part of the good news is that by believing in him, we receive this redemption, and we are made one with God again. That's what it's all about. And this is a truth that will last forever. I think this good news can have a great effect upon us, because all year long, we struggle in this world. We struggle with our sins. We struggle with what we wish we could be, but see how we fall short. We struggle with other people as we have conflicts and trials and harsh words and all kinds of difficulties in this world. But the Christmas season is a time when people come together, when families get back together, when churches come back together. Everybody wants to be there on Christmas Eve, don't they? This place will just be jammed at 5 o'clock. It's when people have a little extra time for one another. And it's time to make the most of that. It's time to be one with one another, to be reconciled, to confess our sins to each other, to forgive one another in the Spirit of Christ and with all the power that he gives us through the redemption he has brought to the world. And it's time to be one again with those we know and love and live with in this world. That's the blessing of having such a festival every year, to come back together. For we are the redeemed of God. And it all came about, all of this, because of this little town of Bethlehem. So God bless you now as we enter into this great celebration of Christmas, which lasts 12 days, by the way. Make the best of these 12 wonderful days beginning tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, the Savior, born at Bethlehem. Amen.